News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Unfortunately, Shane, it's not just an abstract concept. Unfortunately, we've seen evidence of this already. So even before the Eighth Amendment had been repealed, in the height of the campaign, I saw people protesting outside the Rotunda Hospital with very graphic imagery approaching people going in and out of our maternity hospital. Now, bear in mind, women and indeed their partners are going in and out of maternity hospitals for lots and lots of different reasons, lots of different health situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is already happening. We've already seen GP surgeries. Now, you're right, not on a widespread scale, I'm pleased to report, not on a widespread scale, but we've already seen some GP surgeries picketed by people standing outside, you know, trying to interact with people going in and out of the doctors. And you're right, we don't have abortion clinics. We made a very conscious effort that this would be integrated as part of the normal Irish public health service. I'm proud of that decision. But, you know, people who are going to the doctor, whatever they're going to the doctor for, have enough on their mind without people trying to influence their decision.
Absolutely.
And therefore, what's the harm in having a piece of law on the statute book that actually allows our law authorities, our Gardaí, ask people to move on.
Well, yeah, you say what is the harm? But I mean, it's distasteful. I think the vast majority of people listening this morning will say, protesting outside a hospital or outside a doctor's clinic isn't it? You know, it's an invasion on people's privacy. It is incredibly distasteful. But legislating to stop people from protesting, however distasteful you find it, that's going down a dangerous road. I mean, for example, would nurses be able to picket outside a hospital in the event of a strike? Is that illegal?
No. Could that be illegal? And I'm glad you brought up the point, because this is a balance and we're going to get the balance right. So obviously, you know, as health minister, people have a right to protest in relation to our health services. People have a right to, you know, industrial relations issues to highlight. So we are working with the Attorney General's office as to how best to frame this. But I think we know what we're trying to capture here. We're not trying to capture legitimate protest. I mean, there will be pro-life marches that will take place on a very regular basis, I'm quite sure, in our country. And whilst I might disagree with people, and it's good luck to them, and I fully respect their right to do it, but it's the idea that outside our health service, people trying to get in and out of our health services, they should not be met by this.
They
and
shouldn't. I mean, but Minister, sorry. I have to put it to you.
Sure.
Like, I thought the people protesting outside your house,
yes,
I thought that was disgraceful. I thought it was distasteful. I thought it was intimidating. I still wouldn't like to see legislation banning it, though.
Well, that might be another day's work. And I don't mean just in relation to my house, but whether it's whether someone's private home is a place where people should be allowed to gather and intimidate people and effectively trap them in their home is perhaps a conversation for another day. As health minister, I have a duty of care to the people who work in our health service, and I have a duty of care to the people who use our health service. And I have to make sure that people can safely access legal services. Unfortunately, there is a small minority, and I accept it's a very small minority, of people who don't accept the democratic outcome. There's many people who voted no who fully respect the democratic outcome. Absolutely. We see.
I have to interrupt you there, Minister. I have to interrupt you. They would say they're not undermining the democratic decision. They're saying they're exercising their right to protest. Or they're exercising their right to try and convince people. However, I think they're misled in that.
That's not what they're doing, though, because if you actually look, so bear in mind, we now have evidence as to what a US group is trying to do in Ireland. And they are not trying to just protest. They're trying to individually identify women. They're actually particularly targeting women in specific tragic situations. And they make no bones about that in relation to the videos that we've seen in recent days. They want people to approach these women and try to talk them out of having an abortion. Now, that is a throwback to an Ireland that I thought we were leaving in the past. We shouldn't suggest that there's widespread protest. You know, 276 GPs, I think, have now signed up to provide the service. Over 10 of our hospitals are now providing the service. And whilst it's embedding and evolving, people are able to access termination in Ireland today. There are laws to prevent harassment and intimidation.
There are. So are you using, Minister, are you using a sledgehammer to crack a few nuts?
Yeah, I've debated this and with myself and with my officials, and indeed with colleagues. But no, I believe it to be best practice. I believe it to be a good idea. When I'm asking doctors and nurses and midwives to sign up to provide a service I have a duty of care to them as they go about their work, and I have a duty of care to the women of Ireland as well. So, no, I think it's an appropriate measure to take. I think it's one that has very significant support across the Oireachtas. And indeed, the only criticism I seem to be receiving from a lot of the Oireachtas is, can't we do it faster?
Yeah, but see, Minister, that's part of my problem with this. There's an element of putting Irish water in the Constitution, or having the carers enshrined in the Constitution. Everyone wants to be on the side of angels about this. That doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, and it doesn't mean it's good legislation.
Well, that's correct. But no, I don't think that is the case here. I think what this is legislators recognising that our job here didn't stop when the people of Ireland voted. Like I say, this is not an Irish concept. This is something that is in place in a number of other jurisdictions. Our nearest neighbours in the UK have had to bring this in as well. And it is a commitment I gave as part of the referendum campaign that if we set about legislating for abortion in Ireland, we would also legislate for safe access zones. I had originally hoped to do it as part of the one bill, but on legal advice, the view was it was better to do it as two separate bills.
Okay. Minister, just before I let you go, can I just close by asking you a question on the Children's Hospital?
Yes.
Look, you've been out, you've been in the Dáil, you've been on various programmes talking about this. I do want to ask you, maybe it's a question born out of my ignorance about the situation. I mean, there are three or four boards, it seems to me, as an outsider looking running this. I'm just curious, if you wanted to find out tomorrow the latest spending estimate is, who do you call? Who's in charge? Who do you pick up, the line from Henry Kissinger, who do you pick up the phone to?
You want to talk to Europe, No, I think it's an important question, but I think the answer is quite straightforward. The National Paediatric Hospital Development Board is the board that has legal responsibility for the building and the delivering of the hospital. Where I suppose structures have gotten more complicated is because, of course, this project is not just about building a hospital. This project has been about taking three standalone entities, Crumlin, Temple Street and Talla, merging them into one legal entity. It's been about making sure that when the hospital is built, which is the job of the development board, that actually there's nurses and doctors to work in the hospital, that the ICT works, that we can ask staff in Crumlin today, which of the sites are you going to go to? Are you going to work in the Connolly Centre or the Talla Centre or the James' site? So this is a massive project on the site of St. James's, with two outreach centres, one in Connolly and one in Talla. It's something that has been promised by politicians since 1962, I think it was first mentioned in the Dáil. And here we are in 2019 actually getting on with delivering it. And I do need to say to your listeners, because I've heard a lot of debate recently about, the site selection, the project. I've heard people say pause it. I've heard people say retender it. It is important for people to know this project is underway.
Yeah.
And actually, the Connolly part of this will open up this year and start looking after kids in terms of their health needs. So we are going to deliver this project. Now, we're going to...
Should you have thought longer about the retendering, Minister? I'll understand you're anxious to get ahead of the project, and I think most people would share that anxiety. But you seemed very quick over the weekend to rule out the idea of retendering.
No, I suppose what I was doing over the weekend with that was really answering a question, honestly. When I was presented with an options paper on the 9th of November, one that's now being published for everybody to see, it set out three options. It said pause or cancel the project was one option. Obviously, if you do that, you'd have wasted a lot of money and you'd have no hospital. So that doesn't make sense. It said retendering the project would cost more and take longer. Or it said get on and proceed with the project. And we had a number of independent reports in relation to that. Mm. And then we went to Cabinet in December and the decision was to proceed. But I do need to say, what I've been hearing very clearly from people is two things. People are telling me, will you ever get on and build a hospital? Mm-hmm. And also, will you make sure there's no money wasted? And we're going to do both. And the purpose of the PwC report now, which, is not a report that's going to go on and on forever, it's due back next month, it'll be published in full, is to check out, really, are any of the costs avoidable? And if they are, we'll certainly take action to reduce the costs. But we will not take any action that would in any way compromise the clinical benefits of this hospital to children, because they've waited far too long for it.
Are you a wiser and a better politician for the experience you went through with the Children's Hospital? I think you acknowledge you maybe would have handled things differently if you had it over again.
Look, I think every day you get out of bed, you hope you learn something new. I've often thought the easiest way to get through being health minister is to keep the head down, muddle on and not try to do much in the Department of Health. That's not the way I've approached it. I'm in politics to try and get things done. I'm going to deliver this hospital. I'm going to deliver this hospital for the children of Ireland. Of course, as you go along the way of delivering such a major project, there's things you say, I wish we could have done this, I wish we could have done that. But I know, you hear the word scandal bandied around a lot in media and politics today. The only scandal in relation to this would have been a decision to cancel the project and not build the hospital because of the
political Minister,
I wasn't willing to do that.
Minister, I have to, like, some people would say an overspend of 400 million, that's close to being a scandal.
Well, I think we need to be careful with the language in relation to overspend. So what we know so far is that the hospital is costing a lot more than we would like it to do. Of that, there's no doubt. What we now need to be very careful of, I suppose, is checking, are these costs avoidable? Was this a situation where, being quite frank, it was always going to cost more than it was estimated to? And if so, why did we think that? Were we let down by advice? You know, where did that go wrong? And we'll get to the bottom of that.
Okay.
Or is this a hospital that actually, you know, could have costs reined in and that people somewhere along the line have gone too flahoolock with the development of it? And we'll have those answers. And we'll have those answers next month and we'll deliver it. And I do want to assure people, if there's a way of reducing cost that doesn't, you know, reduce the number of theatres or the number of beds or the space for kids, of course, we'll take actions in that regard.